I think it's on. Give it a shot. All righty. Well, there you got to see a little bit of those campaigns and some of the containers. It goes through mighty fast, but there's an awful lot of time and effort. You know what? You've been involved in putting together those scriptures, so you know what it takes to put together a number of them and then to hand them out when you get over there. What a blessing it is to have that. And thank you so very much. And Lord willing, we'll be able to start having campaigns again. We had to cancel three of them that we had scheduled because of COVID. And we're just, in fact, in September, there's six of us men in the Courier's Ministry are going to Bulgaria. We're just going to test the waters and go over, help a missionary there who wants to start a Bible study in the outskirts of Sofia. There's a lot of suburbs building up around Sofia because there's no work in the country. There's no jobs, there's nothing, so they're moving to the big city. And he says within a year and a half, 2 years, he said the one area, there's 18,000 people that came in just the last couple of years. And he said just this whole city just grew up. And he said, I want to start a Bible study there. So we're going to go help him. And we're going to see what it takes to jump through all the hoops for international travel and all of that. And because we're trying, Lord willing, next year, we want to set up a couple of outreaches. We're looking at Poland, the end of May or early June. In that time frame, it's not established yet, but we're getting that set up. And we want to help a missionary there start a church in the city of Gdansk. Gdansk is a port city, nearly a half a million people, and he wants to get something going there. And then June, then later on in the month, Lord willing, we've got one of our workers going to Croatia. He wants to try to get something going there with the youth, some youth outreaches, and see if they can get young people. And that'll be going on. And then hopefully in September, we're rescheduling again. This is the third time. Campaign in Berlin, Germany. And so be praying about that. I'd really love to be able to get into Berlin, Germany, and be there by the Brandenburg Gate and be in these areas where the Third Reich was going to take the world over and did all kinds of atrocities and get them the truth of the gospel and just hand out the Word of God. What an opportunity that'd be. Well, you say, well, what's happened then because of the COVID? Well, God's done things that it's just beyond what I can even imagine. Last year, we shipped more whole Bibles than we have any previous year. Over 25,000 in Croatian, Russian, and Ukrainian. Whole Bibles. Now, whole Bibles, you get out to a store and buy them. They're not cheap. And God provided, and they're paid for. They're there. And then on top of that, had a missionary friend that we worked with a couple years ago in Kiev, Ukraine. He has contacts with some folks that are working in Laos. Laos is the hardest communist country in the world right now. Extremely closed. They've been working, have a team over there of Laotian folks, translating a Bible like our King James. They had a John and Romans ready, and last fall, the missionary said, Brother Don, could you finance printing these? We'd like to do 10,000 of them. They'll have to be printed in Thailand and smuggled in. Well, we got those printed, and they arrived in Thailand right around Christmas time. Last I heard, about 2 months ago, they had over 70% of them already distributed, secretly gotten out. And so now we're helping them with the finishing of the translation. Within, Lord willing, about 15 months, they should be completed with the entire Bible. So be praying for that. This will be the first ever in their language that's accurate, like our Bible is. And so be praying for that outreach. Well, then I noticed in a missionary friend we worked with years ago in Poland, he had a prayer request in his newsletter. He said, I need Polish New Testaments. And so we contacted him and says, we'll provide 10,000 of these New Testaments. So we sent those in, and he has contact with somebody who is in the military that has some pretty good rank. And this fellow came to him and said, could you provide 100,000 pocket Bibles? He said, I want to give one to each of our military and to our law enforcement. And And it just, it's unbelievable. I mean, here's an opportunity that's incredible. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, what you don't know is our military does not hand out scriptures anymore. No. You know, they stopped that. It's not politically correct. And when I went in 1970, when we got our gear, and when I came before we left the door and we had everything we needed, a Gideon was standing there and handed each one of us a Gideon New Testament. And so here we have an opportunity now in Poland. So I says to him, well, 100,000 of anything is a lot. And I said, now we're going to have to find out what this is going to cost. And so we looked into, we printed a lot of Polish and some other languages in Belarus, White Russia, which is kind of ironic because Belarus is a closed country. We no longer can go in there and as missionaries or anything. However, we can print Bibles in there and bring them out as long as we don't distribute them in their country. And so we get crazy, isn't it? Anyway, we've got the opportunity there. And he says, well, they checked into it, and it's $2.50 a piece. We can get a pocket whole Bible. And that is a good price. Now, again, back to that number 100,000. That pushes that up over a quarter of a million. And so I said to him, can you give us some bite-sized chunks? I said, this is pretty big, you know. Anybody got a quarter of $1 million right now, they can donate, we'll just jump right into this baby. But anyway, you know, it's a chunk of change. And so I said, let's see what we got. Well, we broke it down, and our first printing is going to be $25,000. And we only need a mere $70,000 for that. So that's just chump change. But anyway, we're going to be praying about it. And you know what God's doing? We have half of it already. We haven't even advertised it. And see, I think God's in this thing. You know, he wants this to get into the hands of people. And anybody you find that's getting the word of God into the hands of people, God's behind it. And he says, go, go, go. Because like preacher said tonight, we don't have a lot of time left. We are rapidly approaching some difficult things, not only here, but the whole world. And I never dreamt in a 1,000 years that I'd see the whole world shut down like that. I mean, just shut everything down. Who'd ever dream that? I mean, it's a nightmare. And anyhow, when you see this thing going on and you say, it's kind of a precursor where they're going to say, after we're gone, you got to have the mark. Or you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't work, you can't do nothing. And I thank God we're going to be gone. Yeah, but anyway, it's just kind of setting things up here. You know, so it's just amazing. But be praying for that. Be praying for that outreach, that the Lord would bring in the finances, the rest of them for that. We can get it in the works soon. Because, man, I'd love to start seeing those scriptures get to those young men. Just think what that could do, 100,000 scriptures in the hands of the young men of Poland. And into the law enforcement, and to see them with those scriptures. And just a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. So please be praying for that. All right. I'd like to have you turn in your Bibles this evening over to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I'll mention, like Pastor said, there's a display table out there. We have, this is only the second church we've been in with this new brochure. We just put together a new brochure about our ministry. It'll show you our team that works there and a little bit of how we work. And we'll get you one of those. And then tonight, we don't want you to leave. We're going to hold you hostage until you get one of these beautiful photographs. You will want this. This will enhance your home. You probably want to put a good little frame around it. And no, we want you to pray for us. We covet your prayers. And so if you don't like that, turn it over. There's maybe better pictures in the back. But anyway, we want you to please continue to pray for us as we labor and work in Eastern Europe and beyond. And God's given us some great opportunities, and we want to keep on going. All right, let's look here in this evening in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to look at just a few verses 14, 15, and 16. And the Word of God says this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, we thank you now, Lord, for this privilege we have that we can come to you, knowing that you hear us, knowing that you care and that you love each one of us here. And Father, tonight I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, that I'd say only that you'd have to be spoken tonight. I pray, Lord, that you might have each heart and each mind open to receive the Word of God. And Lord, that it might fall upon fertile hearts tonight. And Lord, that you might do a work in each one of our lives. That we might walk out of here tonight, drawn closer to thee, to be a better servant, a better soldier of the cross. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, this evening I want to talk for the next 3 hours on the... No, we're going to move right along here. And on the candle. And you know, the Bible's an amazing book. You know, there's some things that are very difficult that you got to do a lot of research and digging to get it out. But then there's an awful lot of things that he wants everyone to know, very simple. And this portion of scripture right here, even a young child can understand it without any difficulty. He says, I want you to look at a candle, and he says, I want you to do the work of a candle. Now, you know, what's the primary work of a candle? The primary work of a candle is to burn. Is to burn. That's what a candle is to do. It's to shed that light. Now, you notice he's talking here about in verse number 16, he talks about a little greater light, of course, talking about Jesus Christ and glorifying him. But we know that we don't have our own light. We've got to be illumined by the Holy Spirit of God. Now you go back into, keep your fingers here, but back in the book of Psalms, and you get in Psalms chapter 18, and down in verse number 28, and it says this. In Psalms 18, verse 28, he says, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." You know, we sang tonight one of my favorite songs, "And Can It Be?" And it was in March 19th, 1972, when I was still in chain in the prison of darkness. But that morning, about 9:30 in that morning, praise God, my darkness was illumined by the Holy Spirit of God as I repented of my sin and turned to Jesus Christ. And bam, he saved me that morning. And I've been saved ever since. And praise God, I haven't lost it, can't lose it, never will lose it, and just keep going to serve a holy God. And praise God that he lit that candle at that time. Now, remember how excited you when you first got saved. I mean, the first thing I want to do is I want to tell my mom and dad there's been a change. See, I was a teenager. I was 19 years old, coming on to 20 years old, hanging around with the wrong crowd, going to the wrong places, doing the wrong things. But I wanted to tell them there's been a change. I didn't know what took place. I didn't know I was saved that morning. I didn't know that terminology. All I know is I'd been reading the Bible. I heard my brother had witnessed to me. He got saved first in our family. He talked to me about Christ and witnessed to me. I remember as a kid in the 1960s, my dad, who was a lost Lutheran, but he made us sit down and listen to Billy Graham. I hated it. 10, 11, 12 years old, have to sit there and hear this preacher. But he was planting seed. Planting seed. And I was hearing the seed of the gospel. And finally, after years of... I'm German. I'm kind of thick-skulled, so the Lord's got to say, he had a beaten hammer and pound on me, but finally, on that morning, I understood. And I knew I was a hell-bound sinner, that I needed him and what Jesus Christ did for me. And thank God that happened. And boy, that excitement, I wanted to just tell everybody what happened. But you know what happens so often? I'll never forget our pastor at that time, Pastor Howard Nelson, he's since gone home and be with the Lord. He used to tell us, you know, those that were older Christians, when somebody had just gotten saved, got into church, he'd say, "Now you older ones, stay away from them." He says, "Because you're going to spoil their enthusiasm," you know. And you know, so many times we get so familiar with what's going, we get familiar with the songs, and all of a sudden we're just singing the words and they're not meaning anything to us. We get familiar with the fellowship and with everything going on in the church, and it just becomes familiar to us, and that newness and that excitement starts to wear off. And he says, oh, listen, he says, this is something that you don't want to do. Then there's times where we might get saved, and then watch out where you take the light. Because you see, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit's within you. He has lit your candle. Now watch out what you do with it. You can end up taking that light into places you ought not to take it, and go to places you ought not to go. And it's easy right now. Easy. You say, why is it easy? iPhones, internet, just that quick. It's in your hand to go any place you want in the world. And I'll tell you, it's a dangerous thing. And so be careful not to take the light into the low places. Now, you got to lift it up. It'd be like right now if it would get dark when we finish preaching about 10 o'clock. And when it's dark, and let's say the power goes off. And there's a candle under here. Now, if I were to take and light that candle and put it down here, you'd say, what are you doing? That candle isn't going to do any good there. Well, okay, if I took the candle and I moved it and I set it over here, it's better, but still not where it needs to be. But if I took that candle and put it up here, where it's a high place, it'd be amazing how much light that little candle could shed in this dark building. But oh, listen, it's you got to be careful where you put the candle. Now, I want you to notice something here. It says in verse number 15, it says the last part of that verse, it says this, and we're back in Matthew 5, it says, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. When we get saved, what do we become? We become what it says over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, we become a temple. We are the house for the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says down in verse number 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He said, listen, you got to glorify God in your body. So he says, it's going to begin, first of all, in the house. If we're going to have a bright light shining out, it's got to start first in here. It's got to be within you and I. We've got to allow it to shine. It's like when I grew up on the dairy farm there in Wisconsin, we were on a dead-end road where my dad had his farm. And that, for some reason, our power would go out a lot. And sometimes it was squirrels. You say, a squirrel? Yeah, they'd crawl up on a transformer, bite the wire, fry the squirrel, kill the power, and it'd be dark. And so we'd have to, and if it was in the evening, my mom had usually a couple candles, and then she had the oil lamps. And she would light a candle and get the oil lamps out, and she'd light them and turn them up and set a few of them around so we had light. Now, when you finish the night, however long it took for the power to come back on, sometimes not till the next morning, but anyhow, that night, when you finished and you got up the next morning, that globe was darkened. It was gray and blackish with the soot. And we'd have to take, and my mom would wash them out, clean them up, set them aside, so they'd be fresh for the next time. You see, what happens sometimes is when we get saved, that candle is burning within us, but we allow our globe, this old flesh, to get tarnished more and more. And the more we gravitate to the world, the more we gravitate to the things of the flesh, the more we gravitate to all this stuff here, we begin to darken ourselves. And the light has a harder time shining out. And so he says, listen, it's got to begin in the house. It has to be in you. And you have to allow it to shine. You know, look at once over in Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, and you get down in chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, and you get down, I'm not giving you anything new tonight, but it's something that we need refresher courses on sometimes. And in Ephesians 4, starting down verse 22, he says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, when you get saved, praise God you're saved, but you're still a saved sinner with a lot of garbage to deal with. And the longer you've been living in this world before you get saved, the more garbage you got to get rid of. I'll never forget, I had a fellow tell me one time, he said he led a criminal to Christ. He said, now I had a saved criminal. He was born again, but he had to be taught some things from the Word of God to get him to grow, to realize that, hey, there's things you cannot do. And so here we find, he says, you got to put off this old man, put off the old conversation. He says, we have a new tongue now. We do, it's a heavenly tongue. And that heavenly tongue doesn't want you to curse anyone, doesn't want you to say words you ought not to say, doesn't want you to be a gossip. You know, I remember an old-time preacher one time, he had a revival meeting, and this widow woman came up afterwards, and she was crying in the invitation, and she says, Pastor, I've been gossiping, and I want to lay my tongue in the altar. And he says, there's 47 feet here. Get as much on as you can. And anyhow, you know, listen, there's times where we end up saying things and doing things that we ought not to do. And he says, put this stuff off. And he says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says, I want you to be holy. I want you to be pure. So notice he says, it's got to be within you first. It's got to start in the house. This is where the light has to start. Now, let's go back to our text in Matthew chapter 5. Then he says, the next verse, verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men. Now you got it right within you. He says, now it can shine before men. He says, they need to see. You know, notice what it goes on, that they may see your good works. He said, they have to see something. You know, during this pandemic time, lost people were definitely watching Christians. They wanted to see, okay, how big is your God? Are you going to be careful, but are you still going to trust Him? Are you going to be so fearful? You know what the devil wants to do? He wants people to fear. He wants people to fear. You know, we don't have to fear. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. He says, you don't fear this stuff. You know, we were down in an Amish community right in the midst of the heart of the hottest time of COVID. And we were in this Amish community and we were going to these little shops in Ohio. None of them had masks on. And I'll never forget this Englisher, which were Englishers to them, these two women were there, and they were, of course, bandaged up. They looked like they were bandits. They had so much stuff on. And this one woman says, why don't you wear a mask? And I'll never forget what this Amish woman said. She said, we don't watch TV. And they didn't have it. I'm serious. I mean, they didn't have any of COVID. And you look at it and you say, well, what's going on? I think sometimes we just need to trust God more than we need to trust our news media. And say, God, do something. You know, just work in our hearts, work in our lives. So we find here the world has to see something. He says that they may see, he says, your good works. Now, we're talking about a candle, and this is all kind of introduction, but now the main point is go fast. Now, what is the work of a candle? You ever think about that? You know, just what is the work of a candle? Number one, the work of a candle is to be active. If we were to light a candle and set a real candle here, what does the flame do? It's constantly moving. What's it doing? It's going, sucking up oxygen. Sucking in oxygen. You know, the flame likes a little wind. It likes a little breeze blowing on it so it can burn a little hotter. You know, listen, it's taking that in. We, as a child of God, we need a fresh breath of God on our lives every day. Every day. The Apostle Paul, he said this. He said, I die daily. He said, every day I die. Now think about that. That's the Apostle Paul. And if Paul had to die every day to self, so that Christ could live in him. Good night, I need to die every minute. You know? Oh, listen. He says, I die to self.
It's a choice that he made. He said, I've got to die. He said, so that this candle can be active, so it can be flickering all the time. The real deal never sets still. And so God says, we are to be like a candle and be active. Active, getting the gospel out, taking and getting gospel tracts out, getting them to the hands of people. And let's give them a chance to be saved. Listen, so many folks in our country, we go around and wherever we go, we give them out tracts. And it's surprising how many people don't have a clue what these are in our country. And I say, what is this stuff? You know, and we tell them, hey, it tells you how to get to heaven. It's a good thing to know, isn't it? Haven't had anybody say no. Maybe they don't want to believe in it, but they don't want to go to the other place just in case. They'd much rather go to heaven. And so give them an opportunity. Get the gospel out. There's a second thing about a candle. A candle is humble. It's humble. You know, the candle is at the bottom of a lighting field. And yet, how do we gauge lumens today? By candle power. Isn't that amazing? All the advancement we've got with all this high-tech stuff we have, and yet it's gauged with candle power. The bottom of the line. You know, when we come up to somebody and we want to talk to them, we may come up and say, hey, I'm so-and-so from Walker Bible Baptist Church. Let me tell you about who. Do you talk about you? No. You talk about Jesus. You come and you start talking about Jesus. You talk about Him. You know, it's amazing what God does with little things. Small things. You see, God isn't looking for a bunch of big shots. He doesn't want big shots. He wants a lot of little shots shooting together. That's what He wants. Just think of the little boy there that was in the feeding of the 5,000. I'm sure there was probably other people that brought lunches. I don't think he was probably not the only one. But guess what? He was willing to give what he had to Jesus and say, here it is. Take it and use it. And look at what God did with that. Just that small little five loaves and two throwbacks. You say, why were they throwbacks? They were little fishes. They weren't too big. But anyway, he said, it was just small. But he took that and multiplied it. And it says over in the book of Mark that he fed the 5,000 plus women and children. So there was probably 15, 18, 20,000 people there. Fed them all. Think of when Jesus was standing by there and watching them give into the treasury. And he was watching, had his disciples there, and they were coming, and some of them gave much because they had much, and all different amounts given, and Jesus was just off to the side watching. And all of a sudden he says, did you see that? And his disciples are looking around thinking there was a king or somebody with a lot of prominence there that came and put something in, and Jesus said, did you see that? And they said, what? What did we see? And he said, that widow woman. And she was just kind of sifting through the crowd, just kind of leaving. She only threw in two mites. But Jesus said she threw in all her living. He said she gave more than all the rest. Listen, with God, I wish God would just tell us the rest of the story there, what God did for her. Because He's not going to be your debtor. When you do something that He's asked you to do, I guarantee you He comes through. And so you find a candle is humble. It's humble. You know, you may say, well, so-and-so is never going to get saved. I know that this aunt or uncle or brother or sister or mom or dad or grandma or grandpa is never going to get saved. You don't know that. I remember back in the mid-70s, before I went full-time in the ministry, I was working for an International Harvester farm dealership. I was a general mechanic. We had a fellow I worked with there named Bruce. We called him Bruce the Biker. He had the head of Harley Davidson. He had long hair and a long beard and come in with his leather jacket on and kind of a rough type guy. And I tried inviting him to church and trying to talk to him. And he just grunt, and not say anything. Well, one day he and I were put on the same project. We had to work on the header of a
of a combine. We had a 20-foot header there, and we had to change the sickle bar and change out the guards, and we were underneath that thing working on that, and here's Bruce beside me, and all of a sudden he says, "Sturt," he says, "you're pretty religious, aren't you?" Oh, he opened the door, and he wished he hadn't, because for the next couple hours while we were there, I was just telling him what Jesus did for me, what Jesus would do for him, that the grace of God, and I just kept giving him scripture verses. He never said a word. Well, it was only a few months after that where I quit that place and I went full-time in ministry. About 8 years later, we come back into Oshkosh and we go to a Hardee's to eat. We're standing there waiting to take our order, looking, and ahead of me stands a husband and a wife and a couple of little kids. They get their order in and they turn around and here's Bruce. And I look at Bruce, clean shaven, nice haircut, and I say, "Bruce, you got saved." And the big tears well up in his eyes and start running down his cheeks. He said, "I sure did." He says, "Thank you for talking to me all that time ago." He said, "I go to a Bible church down here now, and I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I'm a deacon in the church." Listen, you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know. But, oh, listen, we don't announce ourselves. We announce Him. And so you find a candle is active, a candle is humble. And then a final thing, a candle is selfless. It gives itself away. Oh, listen, how you and I need to be selfless. So many times we're self-centered. So many times we're prideful. So many times we just think we're it, you know, and nobody else can tell us what to do. Oh, listen, a candle is selfless. It's something that, think about how much hope a little candle can give when it's pure dark. I'll never forget when back years ago, we were down in Kentucky, and we took a tour in what they call the Mammoth Cave. And we were down in that cave, and I remember the park ranger that was there said, "I don't want you folks to be frightened now," he said, "but we're going to turn off the lights, and we're going to let you see pure darkness." And they shut the lights off. And immediately some different kids and different ones started whimpering and crying. And you could put your hand right like this, and you would not see it. Pure darkness. But how much a little candle could do in that light. Listen, we're dealing with a dark time. The world's in a dark time. But you know what we're finding? People that are in that darkness are looking for answers. They're looking for some hope. And we've got the hope. You know, it reminds me back a few years ago, we were in Moldova and had a campaign there. And we would take, and we take usually 35 people in a major campaign. And we'll divide them up into four groups, put them in different parts of the city. And one of our workers, Brother Larry, was down, had his team in the heart of the city, right in the main street of Chisinau, the capital. And he said one day when he was working down there, he said he was on a street corner, and in this area there was a school there for the blind. And what they did is on the stop and go lights, they would put a little beeper, like a horn on there, so that when the folks came from the school down and they were there and blind and could not see what was going on, they would listen. And this beeper had just kind of a steady, slow beep. Beep, beep. But then when the light turned yellow, it would go beep, 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 louder, get louder. And then when it turned red, it would go beep and stop. So they knew what was happening. Well, he was down there working in this area, and he said, "I noticed across the street there was a Moldovan cowboy." Now you say, why is that so important? There are no cowboys in Moldova. But this guy had this big 10-gallon hat on. He had his cowboy boots, kind of like I got. He had his big belt buckle. And Larry said he was just staring at him. He says, here he was across the street, but he said he was just staring at him. And he thought, kind of give him a little creeps, you know. But anyways, here this guy's watching. Well, he says, the light changes, and this guy comes walking across the street, and he comes right up to Larry, and he reaches out his hand. And, of course, Larry takes and has one of these John Romans, a lot like you put together here. So Larry hands him one. And he takes it, and he goes, big, And Larry looks, he goes, big! And Larry's thinking, this is as big as we got, you know? We don't have any bigger than this. And he goes, big! So Larry gives him a few more. He's got now 6 or 7. And he goes, he leaves. He said he wasn't gone for a minute. He comes running back, bigger, bigger, bigger. And Larry thought, bigger? Well, this time he handed him about 20 of them. Only he followed him. And he went down to the corner. And what he did is this guy stood there. And when the stoplight stopped the traffic, he went right down in between the cars. And he went from car to car and handing out these John Romans. And everybody took one because they thought, this has got to be important stuff if this guy's coming right down the street. Well, then he listened to that horn. And when he heard the horn go beep, 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 you know, oh, I better get ready to get off the road. He got off, he came back down, and he waited for it to stop again. This time when he came back, Larry gave him a whole box. He says, go at it. And for that afternoon, that fellow worked like mad. Larry said he handed out more scriptures just about than the rest of the team. Well, that's the only time we saw him. Now it's the night of the big meeting. We're getting people coming in. Auditorium's filling up. We got our Bible tables set up and have hundreds of Bibles stacked up there. And all of a sudden in comes the Moldovan cowboy. He's got 7 or 8 guys around him. And he's talking to him. It's all in Romanian. And he comes up to the table and he picks up one of the Bibles and he's showing them one of the Bibles. And what we try to do is get everybody that comes in to get in the auditorium to hear the preaching, have them fill out a visitor's card, then come out, turn in the visitor's card, and can get a free Bible. So Larry comes over to me and he says, Don, do you know this guy? And I said, no. I says, I don't. I said, get an interpreter and go and find out who he is. And so he gets an interpreter and he goes over there and Larry says, I'll never forget the response when I asked who he was. He said, you would have thought I slugged him right in the gut. I said, who are you? And he went, ah. He says, you don't know me? He says, you don't know me? He pointed over and he said, that's Donnie Sturtz and his wife, Laura. He pointed to my brother and said, that's Kenny Sturtz and his wife, Tricia. He pointed at Cheryl, Larry's wife. He says, that's Cheryl, that's your wife. He says, you were in this city 10 years ago. He said, I came. I trusted Christ as my Savior. He said, now I go to a Baptist church down here and I serve in this church. And when I heard you were coming, he said, I begged my employer. I said, please let me off. He says, please let me off. I want to go. He says, I want my fellow countrymen to have the same opportunity that I had to hear about Jesus and to get saved and to change their lives. He said, I begged him. And he said, all he gave me was a half a day. And he said, I came and I did all I possibly could. He says, I want to see Moldovans come to Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, I would to God that we could get Christians in America to get that kind of a burden and that kind of a love to see Americans come to Jesus and to see this nation change for Jesus Christ once again. But oh, listen, it's going to take a passion in our soul. It's going to take a flame burning within us, just like this candle. It's going to have to be active. It's going to have to be humble. And it's going to have to be selfless and give itself away, serving a holy God. And oh, the dividends will be incredible. But it's up to you and I. We need to be like that Moldovan fellow. Have a love for God, which is going to shine through as a love for people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we could be in your book. And we ask, Lord, tonight, Lord, search our hearts. Help us, God, to be like a candle. Just to be like a candle. And maybe tonight, there's some things you've shown us. Maybe something that wasn't even preached tonight, but the Holy Spirit has shown you. Listen tonight, dear Christian. If you need to yield something in your life tonight, you do it. He wants us to be an active candle. Tonight, do what God tells you to do. When the invitation, we're going to have just a minute, and if the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, you yield to Him. Father,
We pray for each one that is here tonight. God, help us all. Help each one of us, oh God, to empty out of self, that we might be humble before a holy God, that we might be active, be willing to tell others, just like a candle is active, to tell others about Jesus, to give them a track, to at least do something, to give them an opportunity to be saved. And then, Lord, just to be selfless and be willing to give of our time, our talent, our ability to reach others with the gospel. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Would everyone stand, please, with heads bowed.